More than 20 hours of interviews recorded during and since the New Zealand-wide lockdown in March last year have been distilled into a verbatim play called Transmission. For creators Stuart McKenzie and Miranda Harcourt, the key figures were epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson. The aim was to get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into how they were thinking and feeling at the time, in their own words. Transmission is about to premiere in Wellington. I spoke to three of the cast, Sophie Hambleton, Tom Knowles, and to Tim Spite, who's portraying Michael Baker.
The last few weeks have been the most extreme experience of my working life. If you were scripting the strangest thing you could possibly imagine about your working life, this would be it, because it's been so much on a knife edge. You know, with a lot of scenarios, there isn't a huge dilemma about what to do, but this time it really was. I have been talking with the media very intensely and putting out blogs, and it was like, this can't be happening. Bodies piling up in intensive care in Italy, doctors having to make these terrible decisions about who lives and who dies. It was just so surreal.
I asked Tom, who's playing Grant Robertson, to explain the play's premise.
It follows a bunch of Skype and Zoom interviews that Miranda and Stuart did, with some of them starting in lockdown and continuing right through till really recently. And so it follows the whole arc and the whole journey of COVID, really, from the initial decision making right through to, you know, some of the critics that have been coming out of the woodwork more and more post decision making. So I think it's a fascinating sort of way of following this arc, but also the insight that these interviews managed to gather from each of the characters into their backstories and what was going on in their life. Because, you know, it's easy to forget that these people are human as well and have their own life stories and how they got to making these decisions, as well as, you know, the government decision making. So it is it's a fascinating insight to how the decisions were made.
Mm. And being recorded at the time is quite different, because hindsight, you know, you have that gift of 2020 and you can massage it. But I guess talking, say, to Grant Robertson in the height of it, what surprised you about what you heard from Grant's interviews?
I had the pleasure of meeting Grant a couple of weeks ago as well. And the thing is, the Grant that I saw on TV and thought was Grant, there's a whole other side to Grant that I really got when I got to meet him. But I think something that really grabbed me about Grant is his ability to talk about things that have happened in his life to get him where he is today, and that his response is very much about the people and looking after the most vulnerable people, and how can these decisions help people through this situation. So I really respond to that.
Sophie, what did you learn about the Prime Minister? And I think she maybe, her interviews were slightly later than Michael and Grant's, I think. But still, it's been a very, you know, there's been no let up that I can see, you know, in the last year in particular. So what insights did you gain?
I think what I found really interesting, and this was even at the time of, you know, watching those 1 p.m. presses and everything that we did during lockdown, is that how much she considers and how much she kind of is juggling, and obviously all the information that she was receiving. But she sort of seemed to me, and I also had the pleasure of going to meet her the other week, very grounded as a person, but so real in kind of all the things she was thinking about and all the things she had to think about, and kind of her empathy and compassion for people, while also, you know, she has a very important job to do. And so I really enjoyed kind of seeing the sort of Prime Minister, the woman, the mother, the partner, the member of society, the human. We laughed about several things together, and I just thought she is multifaceted as a person in a way that I think we do see most often. But yeah, I found that really intriguing. I thought, oh, you might be a bit more wicked than potentially you're allowed to show us normally. And so that was cool.
Did you see all of the interviews? I think there's something like 20 hours. So did you all watch? Or, no, you're no time for that.
No, because he's taken bits from all over that interview and sort of rearranged it and things. So if we wanted to do an exact impersonation of a bit, that was just impossible to find. So I think we stayed away from that.
Did you?
I certainly haven't heard any.
You let Stuart do the compilation of it.
Yeah.
Tim, you've got Michael Baker, and again, he's become a household name, a household voice, and one of those people we kind of clung on to during the worst of times. But how have you approached him? How exacting are you trying to be in his voice, his mannerisms, his looks?
Well, I played Michael Baker in 2005 in a play I co-wrote called The Remedy Syndrome about vaccination, and so I had sort of studied his voice. I only had to do a short cameo. I never thought I'd end up doing a play about him, you know, a full-length kind of thing. But I already knew how to do his voice. He's a friend. I've known him for years and years. How did I approach it? I don't know. The words do all the work for you, really. I don't even need to be exact with his voice. I think people will just think he's just being Michael Baker. That's the strength of what he says, that is that you couldn't be possibly anyone else. I did go and visit him the other day. He actually lent me a shirt that I'm going to wear in the show. So I've actually got the smell of him on me while I'm performing, which is taking it to a whole new level of method acting, I think. But
but there's that responsibility that comes with the fact that he is a mate. He's not a stranger. He's somebody that you'll talk to.
I think it's a little less intimidating. You know, he sort of knows what to expect. And I'm not worried about him coming and passing judgment on my performance. I just think, well, it's your words, mate. It's going to be on you. So I think it's going to be enjoyable because he's an extremely articulate man and he does have a good sense of humour. I think people forget that about him. He's always very good at explaining things with humorous analogy when it comes to the science. And it's just a gift for me to play, really, and to have that level of intrigue.
I mean, this could turn into quite the homage piece, you know, quite the homage for them. Is there both the good and the bad, the insights and the criticisms? What are we going to get from Transmission?
There's some unexpected drama, I think. I mean, Michael certainly was almost, I think it's fair to say, reaching breaking point to try and get the government to listen. And you know, we have this perspective now that they move very quickly, but it's not always that way. There's a great line from Jonathan Lynn, I think his name is, who wrote Yes Minister. He says, government's got the engine of a lawnmower and the brakes of a Rolls Royce. And I think even some politicians would find that moving government to make decisions is very fast. And yet, you know, they were making huge decisions about bailing out Air New Zealand and things, spending billions of dollars that would normally take them months to decide on. They would have to make those decisions very quickly. So all of that stuff's fascinating, I think.
And also the weaving of the three of us in particular, the weaving of the stories. You know, these interviews were all done in somewhat of isolation. You know, Zoom is very much one-on-one or one-on-two, whereas the way Stuart's managed to weave these stories really in some areas shows both sides of the coin and the argument that was at hand and things like that.
So maybe the same questions asked to all three of you and then you have the answers together.
And our responses are somewhat linked and in some areas may create an argument, you could say. So it is... it's really fascinating the way Stuart and Miranda have been able to take, you know, like you said, over 20 hours of Zoom interviews and put it into a thing.
Pretty extraordinary when you think about it, that these three people made time to be part of a play. When you think about that, I don't know whether Boris Johnson would have time or Scott Morrison even help us. Would be much fun, you know, but it is, they must have seen value in it or something worthwhile to take the time out to do the interviews. Did Stuart talk about that? I mean, how he got them to agree?
Grant does say in the show along the lines of he, you know, they didn't have time to write diaries over this period. So in talking to Stuart, in a way, it's doing that. There's an element of that talking to Stuart. So yeah,
history for them in a way.
Yeah, because it's different to those media interviews where the questions are all kind of predictable. I can say that as a journalist. You know, they're very focused on the numbers and the quarantine and the borders and the bubbles and the Trans-Tasman. I guess the questions that Stuart was asking were more were more personal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And as coming from the kind of storytelling, theatre making aspect, you know, you want the human, you want the messy, you want the unexpected, you want the dangerous, you know. So I think having that, coming from that world, to ask those kinds of questions resulted in some really kind of gorgeous and exciting responses, surprising responses. Yeah.
I remember coming out of the main lockdown, the national lockdown, and starting to ask questions of those speaking to. So are you going to create work about the pandemic and the lockdown, or are you going to run as far away as you can and assume that people don't want a bar of it? And this is a year now, a year since that lockdown period. Mm. Do you think that's a good amount of time that people are still engaged and interested? Maybe because of the experience we had, it's not as traumatic as if we were, you know, you were performing something like this in England or Brazil or America. You know what I mean? We can see it with a degree of pride and comfort and a sense of luck. Maybe,
yeah,
and
a sense of remembering it a little bit too. Mm. I mean, it's lovely when you can go to a play and go, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember those that at that point when that happened. I think a year is perfect because the audience will be able to recall a lot of it and feel like they're part of that story.
I think also the fact that the decisions that were made have resulted in the fact that we're even able to do a theatre show now. I mean, there's places all around the world that still theatre and live performance and has not been able to come back. So the fact that, you know, a year is, I think we're extremely lucky to not only be in the theatre, people being able to see it, but also commenting on what happened a year ago. I think it's amazing.
You don't have to answer this. I wonder if the Prime Minister was interested in your portrayal of her, because I'm thinking during COVID there was Spitting Image in the UK where she was Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I have to say a couple of them were very funny, but a bit brutal at the, yeah. at the end. And you have the cartoons, which are, again, going into parody and things like that. Did she have any questions for you?
No, she didn't. She asked me if there was anything that is mentioned in the play that I wanted to ask her further about, which was really cool. But I think she said she's really looking forward to, you know, being able to see it. And I sort of said to her, oh, I'm probably not going to wear a wig or anything like that, you know, to sort of reassure her. And she was just like, oh, okay, cool. You know, she didn't seem too bothered.
Mel Bracewell's kind of got the corner on that one of looking just like.
She's used to it. But, I mean, it's just incredible, like you were saying, that we live in a country where, like, as an actress playing the Prime Minister, I was actually able to even go and see her and meet her, and she made time for that. And, you know, that's, like you were saying, I doubt there's many world leaders that kind of thing could happen that easily, you know, without having to be sort of swabbed at security or something like that. So, yeah, it was great. It was really cool.
Sophie Hambleton, Tim Spite and Tom Knowles are all appearing in Transmission. It premieres at Bats Theatre in Wellington on Tuesday, and the season has already sold out.